A61. Number 9A.
I once read a biography of Einstein. I was interested in biographies of big men, how they were thinking, what was happening, that they could see something quite different. And they said that the method that Einstein used anyway in his earlier years, when he began to see the theory of relativity, which was his great achievement, was that he was thinking along that which he knew already, over and over and over. He was thinking over Newton's law, Newton's mechanics, over and over and over for 100 times and 100 times. He didn't say, now I know it. He was thinking over what he knew and pondering anew, anew, until suddenly he felt that there is something missing, or that for some field of application, Newton's law would not be applicable. Can you see? And this is what John Dolly did. And it is the way we worked during the years of war, when we had nothing else but our synonymous terms. We just loved what we knew. We didn't say, I know something, now what else could I know which I don't know? This is not science. It is not the scientific method. Scientific method is, and we'll see that next week when we go through the 13th chapter of the textbook, that only like understands like. That by pondering what one knows and pondering what one knows and pondering what one knows, out of that knowledge, out of that reservoir of knowing, something new can evolve. Most students have a feeling, I have studied this, and I have studied the whole evening about this, and now I have studied it. Now what next? And they try to find something, what next, you know? They know there lies a big field of knowledge ahead which they don't know. So they reach out for that. That's not evolution. The new will come when we ponder that which we have, which we know. This is the secret. And the secret is that in the study of the synonymous term, is not to get weary of going over the whole ground, over again and over again. The only thing we have to do is to go over the old ground with the same love, or with greater love, with greater expectation, with greater awe of the subject than before. Actually, if you go over the old ground just like a rosary, well, then it doesn't do anything. See? Then you just babble it down, but that doesn't do anything. Yes, no, that's not true. It does something. It kills it. Against the little bit we have. But think of, you know, there is a beauty in doing this. You know, you laugh about the long winter nights. Apparently you don't have them, but they are wonderful. Just to sit back, to have no light, just to look out into the stars in the quietude, and you have a reservoir of knowledge of the synonymous term, and just sit back and ponder them. And just go over them and say, what does it mean if the nature of being, which is also my being, and which is the being of all, is of the nature of mind? And you start, what does it mean? Huh? Don't think I can teach you. I can only teach the method, huh? But the spiritual sense that will come up, that will evolve, is something that will only happen with each one when he ponders. That I cannot give. That the teacher cannot give. That's something that has to grow from your own loins by pondering these ideas. And they are beautiful. They're beautiful. You will, at the beginning, it may be a worthy thing, and don't Don't get disappointed about it, because at the beginning you struggle with terms. And you struggle with terms and think, now, what else do I have on my list? And then you say, I can't remember anymore anything, you know. I have only now seven, huh? But there are so many, I don't know them. All right, then you go to your list and look it up again. And that may be perhaps a training period of perhaps a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that you have to do that, but slowly you get into the rhythm. Slowly you don't need the list anymore. And you really can lean back in your chair and just contemplate infinitude, the infinitude of mind. And contemplate, ponder it. Don't think that you only are working properly if you always put your nose into the books or into the notes. I read too. I make notes too. But I usually make notes, and when they are made, they have done their service, and I don't look at them anymore. They are helping to crystallize one's thought when one makes notes. But go a step further, huh? Past the notes, and say, now, do I have all this in my consciousness? And so begin to culture them. Do these exercises. Do them every day. Take every day one synonym, for instance. But all through a year. A year passes very quickly. But you will see that those synonymous terms become so near, so tangible, so unworthy. But they are no more dependent on words. They become atmosphere. They become tone. So that they become independent of terms. And then you can read the universe. Then the universe speaks, the Bible speaks. The Bible speaks, as we have said, in another language than these terms. And yet you hear mind in it, and you hear spirit in it, and you hear soul in it. You see? Without these terms repeating themselves. And that is a sign that you have got the tones. And you see the universe, and the universe again has a language of its own. It has another language than the Bible. It has another language than the textbook. The universe has its own language, the language of experience, the language of the other sciences. And you begin to hear the tonality there too. Because nothing happens in the universe which is outside of the seven. Nothing. And so you begin to interpret the universe rightly. And therefore you have only one universe. You have the textbook, you have the Bible, you have the experience of the universe, it's one being. It's all of the nature of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. Can you see what happens? Yeah. Try it. You have perhaps tried in your life so many things and wasted 10 years and 15 years on something and it was for nothing. Why not experience with metaphysical ideas? We have to experience it. We have to try it. Try it once. You can't lose very much by thinking about the seven synonymous terms, but you may gain an enormous lot. You may gain an enormous lot. All right. That was a sideline. I may go off on a tangent quite often this week. But they are necessary, I guess. Mm-hmm. So we go back to spirit. And we have started the compendium with spirit separates. We could have started with something else, or let's do it this way. So separates means that spirit separates opposites. It does not separate the oneness of being and splits it up in dualism. Therefore, spirit, what do we have here? Yes, I think we have here that spirit is the dividing line. Do you have under separates? because Mrs. Eddy says that spirit is a line of demarcation between. The line of demarcation between spirit and matter, between ideas and illusion. So you can see spirit is now a line of demarcation which now says what is what and what is no more what. You know, this is a terrific sense if you look at it. If you say spirit separates that which is from that which is not, how much have we learned up to now? If we were blank on Sunday afternoon and started out in investigating Christian Science, what have we learned up to now? Up to now we have only learned what mind is. What is mind? Nothing more. And spirit comes and says, all right, that is what is. And the other is not. Showing already that spirit says something to mind. When spirit separates, it says something to mind, and says to mind, you are, and all that is not like mind is not. Can you see? Spirit somehow refers to mind. It isn't something by itself. They are synonymous terms, we always must remember, they are synonymous, which means they always blend with the other synonymous term. So spirit comes along and says, what you have learned by pondering mind in your quiet hours in the evening, that is reality. And all that is not along that line of the one mind is not reality. And you have stated something about spirit and not something about mind. Is that point very clear? Each one must be very clear. Yes, Rick?
Would you say then if mind is created, by the end of mind, everything that is has been created, the other six anonymous terms really come in to qualify what mind is, in a sense?
In a sense they do. In a sense they do. Yeah. In the word sense they do. As long as we stay in the word order, they do. You have mind and says, I've created all ideas. No. So spirit comes and says to that whole mind and says, you know, mind, you are the only one. There is nothing beside you. Mind didn't say that. Mind only says, I create all. And now comes spirit and says to mind, you are the only one. And therefore, everything that is not in line with you, is not like you, that spirit, not like you, is not real. Can you hear? It's all spirit that I say, but it's spirit about mind.
Max, your question. This brings to my thought the second day of creation when the waters were separated.
Absolutely.
From the waters.
Yeah.
Now, in going through these seven terms, you're not referring to those 7 days of creation at all. Is that deliberate? Is that confusing? Or
No, not at all. I did refer, in a way, perhaps not expressly yesterday, because we said mind is light. Let there be light. But we said that this is a biblical symbol. Therefore, it refers to the first day. The first day, God said, let there be light, which meant let there be intelligence, let there be vision, let there be insight, let there be knowledge. So the second day, yes, comes and separates. Makes the firmament to divide the waters above the firmament and from the waters beneath. Showing really here that which has been created in mind is separate from its opposite, that it doesn't mix. Therefore, all the ideas which we get now is all about that sense that it doesn't mix, that it is separate. Therefore, that which we have stated in mind is the only, and there is nothing beside it.
Would you then, as we go along, make reference to the
days of creation?
Yeah.
I can, yes. Oh, yeah. Sure. I know. I think in the compendiums we even have that. You just tell me when I forget it. So we have one of the first big aspects of spirit in order to grasp what spirit is perhaps to introduce and say, all right, now spirit comes and says to mind, you are the only, you are the real one, and so everything that does not conform to mind is therefore not a reality, and therefore separate, and makes a line of demarcation between ideas and illusions. This we have under this capital word separates, we have dividing line. Yes, we did that, because she speaks about the line of demarcation. We have here in italics, no point of contact. Yes, that's my expression. Never mingles. Spirit is that which says that opposites never mingle. If we say never mingles, we should know what we mean. Opposites never mingle. This is a great point. When we analyze our consciousness, we see that we constantly mingle opposites. We think about life and think about death in the same breath. We think about life, how life is, and then we say, yes, but it comes to an end and we die. We think about truth and we know how many lie about error. We always mingle. We mingle the divine and the human. We mingle the objective and the subjective. We mingle the absolute and the relative. We mingle everything that is of a dualistic nature. And therefore, spirit is that important, most important synonymous term, which says, now let's make a clear-cut distinction. Spirit distinguishes. You could, I don't know if we have somewhere, distinguishes, makes a distinction. Can you hear? Everything that makes a separation has to do with that tone of spirit. So, in the compendium, I don't think I have given many references to this very important office of spirit to separate, but I read you a few from the textbook, which are actually in the textbook in connected with spirit, just to impress your ear how very often Mrs. Eddy uses spirit in the sense that spirit is that aspect of mind, so to say, which says you are the only one and you are not mixed up with its opposite. Let me just read a few. She would, for instance, indicate it this way. She says that spirit never enters matter. So it doesn't mingle. Never enters matter. She says, spirit can never be raised from matter. Can you see? They are not mixed up. That spirit cannot commune with opposites. Very wonderful. That spirit cannot commune with opposites. Do we commune with opposites? We do. Why? Why? Because we have not understood mind. If we would have understood mind, we would not be able to commune with opposites. Because mind creates only ideas. Mind only knows ideas. That's what we have learned, though, in mind. Therefore, we could not commune with opposites. And we would have the tone of spirit. You see, touching mind properly, we have already spirit. Yeah? They are not like seven flowers in the garden, you know, where you have a nice rose somewhere and a nice lily somewhere. You have one, just one God, one being, And you can look at that one being from the side of mind. If you look properly at the side of mind and see that mind only knows idea and only idea, we cannot more mingle with illusions. And this is spirit. See? We have already touched spirit. That's why you will realize very soon that these synonymous terms have an irresistible order. They have, that's not the right term, irresistible. They have an order that cannot be changed. Huh? What would you call it? They have an irreversible order, huh? An impelling order, huh? Of building up one's concept. Once we have touched mind properly, we have touched spirit, and if we have touched spirit, we have touched soul. You can't help it anymore. One just sees that, can you see that we could not start with spirit? If we take spirit separate, could we start with spirit?
No.
Why not?
You haven't got anything created.
All right. What does spirit separate? You see? What are you going to separate? Huh? You wouldn't have anything to separate. You would have a chaotic universe, and you wouldn't have a standard to separate. Mind at first to come and say, look here, all that is of the nature of ideas is my universe. That's my creation. And the moment it says, and this is the only creation, it speaks about spirit. Yeah? So can you see, we couldn't start with spirit separate and say, we have a chaotic universe, everything up and down now, let's put some order into it. And you begin to separate. How will you sift out things? How will you know what is true and what is not true? What is right and what is not right? What are the ideas and what are illusions? You wouldn't, huh? Therefore, the irresistible order is to begin with mind. Mind is first. Yes. I go back again to separate. Just give you a few more examples of how she repeats and repeats. She says, we had that spirit cannot commune with opposites, and we would be so happy if we wouldn't do that, that we wouldn't commune with illusions, and the moment we have mind established, we can no more commune with opposites. Spirit cannot unite with matter. Can you see now? Cannot unite. That's also that it is separate. Spirit shuts out matter. She says, to spirit there can be no matter. Again, a separation. So the term separates, or the term divides, must not be spelled out. The sense of it. Now, in these various references, she uses other terms than separate or divide, but the tone of it is the same. To spirit, there can be no matter. Spirit exists without the condition of matter. Can you see? It exists apart. Spirit has no place in matter. It's separate from it. Spirit and matter do not coexist. No, do not concur. Do not concur. Again, no mixing. Spirit is distinct from matter. We had that. Spirit does not cooperate with matter. You hear, they all have the same meaning. So, I think if you read, or if we read, excuse me for the whole week. I have a funny... funny way in speaking. I always say you when I mean we. I don't know from where I have it. Is this
language.
It's a language, huh? But if I say, if you read the Synonymous term, it's me too. Huh? Yes. So I always should say, if we read it. So I just want to apologize that you don't feel that I talk down to you and say, you should do it, I do it. No, I'm in the same pot. Huh? And excuse me if I have got into that habit. All right. That's something we remark very quickly when we study all the references on spirit and just read them through one by one, that practically 50-60% of the statements about spirit have all to do with that sense of separate, being separate, not mixing. This is so strong, you know, in all the references, that one can't help seeing that this is one of the main aspects of spirit. Yeah. All right. Then we go to the next one. Understanding. We have under spirit the term understanding later. Under soul, the idea of spiritual understanding. And this has always given a bit rise to questions since John Dolly. He always showed that spirit is understanding and soul is spiritual understanding. But when I say he showed always, he never showed it. He always stated it. He never taught us. He always threw the whole thing into our face and said, here you have it, go home and study it. Huh? He didn't have the patience to explain things to us. Thank God he didn't take the time, or he would have spent 40 years trying to teach us how to study the synonymous term, and in this way he just threw it at us and said, you go and do it, I have another job to do. And so he did a better job than to teach over and over classes the synonymous terms. So we have to find out by ourselves really why spirit is characterized by understanding, soul is characterized by spiritual understanding. It says that understanding is a quality of spirit. What is the difference between mind that knows and spirit that understands? See? Now up to now, as long as I stayed within one synonym, we only were trying to see how ideas within one synonym were blending with ideas of the same synonym. Now, when we go to a next synonym, we get the further proposition. We not only have to see how ideas in spirit blend with all the other ideas of spirit, that they mean the same tone, but we also have to see how they link with the preceding synonymous term. Because we have seen they are synonymous, therefore they overlap somewhere. They are not separate, so the ideas are not separate. Spirit does not separate the ideas of mind from the ideas of spirit. Spirit separates ideas from illusions, but much more shows how the ideas of spirit reflect the ideas of mind, how they blend. And therefore we also must see how the ideas of mind blend with the ideas of spirit. Like here, where we have the mind knows and spirit understands.